really kind of started me thinking about, this was way before the pandemic, when I was really kind of sick and ill, and it had to be one of the most traumatic times of my life. And I may have shared it, you know, years and years ago, but I thought I might share it a little bit again, just because people around us are kind of ill and sick, and it kind of leads into a point that I kind of want to make. But when I was sick, there was fever and chills and coughing and sore throat and body aches. And anybody ever been there? Kind of like all that flu kind of stuff, and it's not really, In mine, I still have my tonsils. So it takes the infection, and then, they get golf balls in the back of your throat back there, you know. And people were praying for me, and so amen to that. But when you're praying for me, you're really praying for Melinda. Because she's the one who has to cope with me, right? And listen, I am not a great patient. Anybody else? I'm a big baby. Guys, probably. Yeah, guys. Guys are big babies. I don't want to take my medications. I can't really sit still for very long. I suffer through the pain loudly. Like every time I move, oh, oh, just to fluff the pillow. Oh, oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. And I like to rest. I like to rest a lot. See, I think my body's just going to sweat it out, right? Now you break a fever, you break the fever, you get the shivers, and you sweat it out, and you kind of get rid of it, right? And so that for me, that requires a lot of rest and a lot of moaning. But during this time, I learned something about my wife that I had never seen before. And maybe some of you know what this is, but she has multiple levels of caregiving. So there's this normal kind of everyday kind of looking after you, eat something, sweep the floor, wash the dishes, wash the clothes, just the kind of everyday kind of DEFCON 5 piece, right? You know what DEFCON is, by the way? Defense, right? Defense readiness condition. That's part of the United States military code. You're at DEFCON 5. It's peace, it's all calm and it's all good. So there's this regular DEFCON kind of 5 thing going on. And then there's this kind of step up, spring cleaning kind of stuff, got to sanitize everything and clean stuff up and, right, practice good hygiene. And, there's all that kind of scrub the floors on your hands and knees. There's this next level kind of, take care of you. Then there's DEFCON 1. This DEFCON 1 is kind of like the full alert, defense readiness, right? And so this super advanced warrior ninja dominatrix, kind of nurse mode that she moves into, she gets this look in her eyes that I hadn't seen before, and she's looking at you clinically. I wish my wife would look at me sexually, right? But I see her looking at me clinically, and I'm afraid. I'm very afraid. This ninja nurse is relentless. It's DEFCON 1 mode. She's in your face, right? Resistance is futile, right? In a demanding kind of way, you are weak and I will take care of you. I was trapped in my bed for days. The fear is real, folks, I'm telling you. At my weakest, I'm sure she purposely wrapped the sheets snug and tight around me so I wouldn't move or escape, maybe a better word. But she comes at me unyielding, ruthless. Seriously, she came with tools. She has apparatuses and a chemical laboratory and a tackle box. This is not the first aid kit now. She's got a tackle box. And what's with the thermometer? Every 15 minutes, like clockwork, we gotta take your temperature. I'm trying to rest. Can you just give it an hour? No, 15 minutes. Gotta take your temperature. Can I rest, please? I don't want it. Stick this under your tongue. I don't want it. You stick it under your tongue or I'm going to stick it somewhere else. Okay. Listen, the fear is real. I'm telling you, it was scary, right? I was afraid. It gets better. Watch. I have a sore throat. A sore throat. So, of course, the ninja nurse wants to see. Let me look down your throat. Will you just leave me alone? I'm trying to rest. I don't want you to look down my throat. Come on. Where's the flashlight? Let me see your cell phone. We have a flashlight and we'll take a picture. You're not taking a picture of my sore throat. Just leave me alone. Back up. Just open up and say, ah, that's all you do. I don't leave me. Well, here's that picture. You got that one already, right? Honey, relax. Relax. How am I supposed to relax? I'm like hyperventilating now. Do you need something? Here's a washcloth. A tissue? Here's a tissue. Do you need some Benadryl? Some Advil? Some cough syrup? Some zinc? Some vitamin C drink? Here's some ginger ale. Do you need a pillow? Here's a blanket. Here's some eggs. You want some toast? You need some oatmeal? Here's the sheets tight enough for it. Please let me relax. Leave me alone. Put this on your head. Put this on my head. Can't relax. I got a vice grip on my head now. She's at DEFCON 1. The fear is real. And these are not fever hallucinations that I'm having. This is her coming at me. This woman, some kind of, I don't know, supernatural mode, instinct, maternal. I don't know how you go from coughing and hyperventilating to wheezing, but now I'm wheezing. I don't wheeze. I've never heard. And now I'm wheezing. And who knew my wife was into vaping? She brings out the hookah pipe. Oh, excuse me. The nebulizer. Look at that. Hoses, masks. I told you she had a tackle box and a chemical laboratory, right? And so she's mixing up some kind of concoction and saying, just breathe this now, honey. Just breathe it. You watch way too much Forensic Files for me to breathe anything that you're going to be giving me. Is it even expired? I've never even seen this thing in the back of the closet. Just breathe normal. Breathe normal. I'm wheezing. I can't make this up. Anybody got a bathroom? Got a bathroom in your house? I would hope you have a bathroom in your house. We're moving into a much more civilized society. You got a bathroom in your house. This is good. When I was growing up, the bathroom kind of was the safe haven place, and I could escape into the bathroom. So for certain, I could escape DEFCON 1 if I just went into the bathroom. That's not how Melinda grew up. Melinda grew up with 8 people in the house and 1 bathroom. It's nothing for the sisters to be all in the bathroom at the same time. One's at the sink combing their hair, another one's in the shower, another one's on the toilet, another one's starting a load of laundry. See, in that house, you weren't part of the family until somebody actually walked in on you while you were in the bathroom. But see, in my household, if you walk in on somebody that's in the bathroom, don't you go, oh, excuse me, and walk out. No, no, no. Not this ninja warrior nurse. No, she'll walk right in and start emptying the dryer. You smell. Make sure you spray. I'm sick, honey. I'm sick. I'm sorry. Anybody else grow up like that? My fears are real. I'm pretty sure I'm still suffering some PTSD, right? This was years ago. The DEFCON 1 experience. But after the hookah smoke clears, sorry, nebulizer, after the washcloths are removed and the thermometers put away and the tackle box is back in the closet somewhere, you know what I see? Here's that next slide. I see a love that endures all things. I see a love that won't quit. I see a love in sickness and in health. I see a love in good times and in bad. I see an absolute love invasion. Often misunderstood, but I see a love that is overwhelming. I see the companion of my household. I see the love that's willing to walk through the fire and into the bathroom. This crazy, super amped up DEFCON 1 ninja nurse coming at me with everything she got. Everything she got to bring me healing. Everything that she got in that tackle box. She's going to invade my privacy. She's going to make me feel uncomfortable at times. She's going to do all those things that just seem way over the top because her love for me is way over the top. It's overwhelming. It's overreaching. It's overbearing. It's scary at times. And it's a love that approaches the divine. This is how God loves us. I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you have comforted me. I promise you, God will invade your privacy. He will overwhelm you with his care, his compassion, and his concern. You are sick, and he has the cure. It will seem unnatural because it's supernatural. It will seem weird. It will seem extreme. It will seem relentless. It will seem persistent. It will seem unceasing. God's love will seem irrational, over the top, unjustified, unearned, and you might be afraid. And he will flood your heart to overflowing. Oh, if you could only see it. If you could only see the love. He loves you that much. And there's a celebration. There's a celebration of this love. There's your first one. Anger turns to comfort. Pain turned to relief. Death turned into new life. Sin that corrupts your soul washed clean. Diseases are overcome. Addictions are crushed. Relationships are restored. Healing and victory in the name of Jesus Christ. We were not left for dead. We were cared for. We were looked after. And we are made well. All of heaven is celebrating over you. All things. What things? All things. Things seen and things unseen. Things in the supernatural dimension and in the physical realm. Anybody ever feel like they disappoint God? You feel as if you've disappointed him, let him down. You don't live up to the expectations that he had for you. And it can be a struggle. It can be a daily struggle, moment by moment. Many of us are familiar with that. I know that I'm familiar with it, so you must be as well. I'm very familiar with my dark side of my flesh. All the ways in which I can disappoint God, all the ways I know I can let him down in my thoughts. Forget about the actions. In my thoughts. And in my actions, my selfishness, my disobedience, even my anger. Even in those times when I'm trying to work really hard so that I can earn more of God's love. You are sick. You're ill. Trying to repay him for his goodness and his kindness and his salvation, and I keep letting him down over and over and over again. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. You were angry with me, I disappointed you. You saw me as your enemy. Wayward sheep, lost, disobedient, diseased, cursed, ill. Yet, you provided a way. Your anger has turned away. Not because I'm so great. Not because I'm so obedient now. But because he's so great. He's the ninja warrior God. Pursues you relentlessly, unceasingly. You, God, love far more than I can ever imagine. You pursued me while I was sick and ill. You pursued me while I was lame. You pursued me while I was injured, while I was cursed, while I was left for dead. You came at me with everything you had. You came at me with yourself. You provided a day for me, for my salvation. And I praise you. I praise him because I was once lost. Now I'm found. Yeah, I was cursed. Now I'm set free. I was sick. Now I'm healed. Can I get an amen? Amen. How do you know you feel good? Because I know what it is to feel bad. And I don't feel like that. I feel good. I praise you, Lord, for the rest that I have in your comfort. You provided a day of salvation. Anybody got a day of salvation? Some people have they have a day of salvation. You know, November 13th, 1979, I got saved. Came down to the altar, gave my life over to the Lord. There was a day of salvation for me and my soul. Anybody got a day of salvation like that? I ask you a day, you could say, I know when the Lord came in and just invaded me. People have a day of salvation. And on that day of salvation, you comforted me. Your anger turned away. Do you rest in the comfort of your salvation? Or are you still trying to figure out your disappointment? All the ways you failed him. You holding on to all those feelings of guilt and anger and shame. God would say, I'm not angry with you. My anger has turned away. I've washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are clean. Are you simply angry with yourself? Don't confuse the two. Don't place your feelings as the feelings of God. You hear me loud and clear? His anger has turned away. He brought peace, joy, hope, love, fills your soul. Let God's anger rest on those that would reject his love, his peace, his hope, and his joy. You are cared for in this life and the next. And with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That's the next one, salvation, right? Have that day of salvation. Are you saved? Can you say, amen, I'm saved? For whatever you know that means. I'm regenerated, I'm reborn, I'm saved. I got the salvation of Christ. I take the forgiveness and the blood of body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of my sin. You're saved, baby. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. My eternal rest rests on the blood of Jesus Christ and the work he has done, not the way that I have disappointed him over and 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 over again, but all the things that he has done one time, once for all, for who? All, baby, all. Your were angry with me, but your anger has turned away and you comforted me. Walk in that comfort. Walk in the day of your salvation. Walk in the proclamation that God loves me. He cares for me. He's pursued me. He laid his life on a cross for me. He rose from the grave to show me what's next. Walk in that comfort. Are you saved? Trust in his word. Are you saved? There is no more fear. Fear of death? You conquered death. Are you saved? Stand in the gap for others that do not yet know that hope, that do not yet know that salvation. Dance in the remembrance of Christmas. God is my salvation. Listen carefully now. Watch. Listen. Melinda does not make my dreams come true. Melinda does not make my dreams come true. Melinda is my dream come true. God does not give me salvation. God is my salvation. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my sanctifier. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my coming King. In Christ I am saved. In Christ I am free. In Christ I celebrate. And our salvation needs to be complete, a complete salvation. What is that? Heart, mind, and strength. All your heart, all your mind, all of who you are. Lay it all out. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind, and I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my God. Many people have an emotional response to the calling of the Lord in their lives, and it's not complete. It's an emotional response. So we have to ask the question, is that enough? Is that enough? It might be a great place to start, might be a nice draw, it might be an introduction, but I can promise you this, here's your next slide, that emotional-based spirituality will never sustain you through the toughest of times. The honeymoons and the mountaintop experiences fade. I see a lot of churches, I see a lot of pastoral leaders trying to create for people mountaintop experience, mountaintop experience, mountaintop experience, mountaintop experience, week after week after week. We got to jazz these people. They have to have a mountaintop experience, a mountaintop experience, mountaintop experience. They never get in the field with anybody. They're not going to celebrate 6 months of sobriety with my brother. Amen. That's too dirty. That's too nasty. That's an illness. That's sickness. That's disease. We don't want to deal with any of that. God deals with it. And we walk with people in it. I watched that ninja nurse of mine walk me through one of the toughest, physically challenging, emotionally straining, spiritually demanding times of my life. This was not a honeymoon phase. This is not party time, baby. No, this is messy. And it's ugly. And it's smelly. And it's tiresome. And it's exhausting. And it's grueling. And it's scary at times. This was the love that sees into the darkest of days and carries you through and meets your need. This is God's love for you. And isn't that what fellowship is? It's just not mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. How's everything going? Oh, we got to put our mask on. Oh, it's all good. We're all fine. We're all lovely. We're all. In the meantime, my kid's addicted to heroin and running away. But everything's good. Real. See, I want to belong somewhere that they don't mind getting in the trench. They don't mind seeing you when you're at your worst, but they dog you anyway. They love on you anyway. They see you when your hair's a mess and you got bad breath. They love you anyway. They know what it is to struggle financially. They know what it is to have emotional trauma and divorce. And they know what it is to watch their kids turn away from God. It's the reality of the darkest of days, and God is in the midst. It's smelly, it's sweaty, it's dark, but he cares, and he nurtures, and he loves, and he provides, and he sustains. And on that day, you'll proclaim the good news of what he has done. Stronger than any feel-good message, stronger than any mountaintop experience, tougher than and stronger than any denominational doctrine, because this kind of love goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond all of that. There's a salvation of your mind. There's a salvation that comes into your own heart. Our intellect is challenged by his grace. We are changed by his mercy, by his care. He speaks of the eternal and into the eternal. He prompts us to consider your life is bigger than your flesh. He speaks into life after death. He prophesies the curse of death, and he prophesies lifting the burden from you. Salvation is complete. Merry Christmas. What are you going to walk in? Merry Christmas, it frustrates the mind of the intellectual. Merry Christmas confuses the minds of the rational. Merry Christmas irritates the minds of the logical. And can you actually come to a place in your rational mind where you begin to accept irrational love? I did not want to accept what she was throwing at me. But here she comes with her tackle box. Bringing healing. Trying to help me in my suffering. Can you come to a place where you can begin to accept this irrational love of God into your life? In your rational mind, it doesn't make sense at all. And in many times you're afraid and you resist. And all you need to do is accept. How do you explain the DEF CON love of a spouse? A father's love for his son. A mother's protective love of her family. Don't mess with mama bear. You know the drill. Don't be poking the bear. That love is fierce. Yeah. Intensely protective. No greater love than a man has, and he laid down his life for his friends. It's that kind of irrational kind of love. You want to move into DEF CON 1 mode with your love? Love your enemy. While you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Now you're talking about the love of God. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't rationally even begin to, no. Because mercy is illogical and grace is irrational. But are you ready to accept an irrational kind of love in your life? And listen, if you can explain it, it's probably not God's kind of love. If you can explain it away, see, it's faith-based. It's supernatural, irrational and illogical, and totally not your way of doing things. It's his way of doing things. His ways better than your ways, but do you know his ways? His love dominates. His love overwhelms. and watch. Oh, this is so amazing. If you've been one of those, I'm saved, I'm regenerated, I'm born again, you've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you, give me an amen. Amen. God himself watch. And he has entrusted each of us. He has entrusted each of us. To each other. He has entrusted each of us to each other. We're stewards of ourselves and each other. And you can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it in the flesh. Because you think too logically. You have to get out of the way and let God, who dwells within you, have his way. He gives us the strength to endure. He gives us the strength to persist. He gives us the strength to overcome. He gives us the strength to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He gives us the strength to encourage one another on. We are stewards of each other, and we are to watch out for one another. When you can't go on, he'll be there to carry you. When you can't think straight, he's going to guide a path for you. When you got no words to say, he's going to provide a way and a thing to say. When things look their darkest, he's going to be your light. And in that day you'll say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout out loud. Sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel that is among you. Proclaim. There's your next one. Proclaim. Hear ye, hear ye. In the day of your salvation, you have been comforted. Your salvation is complete. Attention, alert, DEFCON 1, all battle stations, DEFCON 1 is activated. Sing and shout. The day of salvation has arrived. It's the day for rejoicing. It's the day for you to proclaim. It's the day to get out of your darkness, get out of your weakness, and walk in his strength and walk in his light. You're looking at yourself too much. You're very disappointing to yourself. God has no anger with you. Covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. This is the day for us to make known. The Messiah has come. Put up a Christmas tree. Christ is born. Put some lights on the house. God is with us. Our sins are washed away. Our guilt has been banished. Praise his name and glorify his name. I'm a testimony. That's all I got. I'm a testimony about his healing grace. I'm a testimony about the purpose of a helpmate in someone's life. I'm a testimony that love is alive and love is strong and love endures. I'm a testimony that he can take a life that seemed disappointed and meaningless and worthless and make it into something meaningful and purposeful. I'm a testimony that God has mercy and compassion, even on the lowliest and darkest of souls. I've been there. I know what it is to be in the pit. I didn't get myself out. God got me out. I'm a testimony that God can give you the desires of your heart. I'm a testimony that spiritual ways are better than financial ways. I'm a testimony that spiritual ways are better than your emotional ways. I'm a testimony that spiritual ways are better than your physical ways. The strength of God can be found in Jesus. The strength of God can be found in his church. Is this a church? Is this a fellowship of the believers of Jesus Christ? That's us, isn't it? I'm hoping it's us. If it's not, I'm preaching to some people that need to be. We're empowered to spread the good news here in this community, there in our nation, and everywhere around the world. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you know it, you feel it. And I don't want to listen carefully now, if we're together in this, I don't want to walk with Jesus some of the way. I want to walk with Jesus all the way. This Jesus gives a DEFCON 1 kind of love. He gives that DEFCON 1 kind of love. Just gonna dog you. I'm gonna love you. Wherever you're at, whatever you look like, whatever you smell like, just gonna dog you. Just gonna love you. And I'm gonna spend my days praising him. What are you gonna do? Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity, this place, these people. Bind us together, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that we might exalt your name and glorify you. Father, I would pray that you continue to minister into the hearts and minds of those gathered here in this place. For our desire is to celebrate you. Our desire is to walk with you. Our desire is to walk in Christ. And Father, I would pray that we might crucify our flesh. We might crucify ourselves. We might lay our disappointments at the cross and not pick them back up again. Might we just accept the love that you have for us, as irrational as it is, as overwhelming as it is, flood our souls. Mold and shape us. Challenge us and change us. We are open to that which you would have for us. May our lives serve as a living testimony of what God can do in someone's life. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen.